Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. We're 312-981-7200. The music you hear behind me, of course, Michael Jackson, Hard to Believe. Hard to believe, but it was 10 years ago today that Michael Jackson passed away.
And you know how I got that news? I know I say this all the time, but Twitter.
Twitter was the one.
That was the first time Twitter broke news for
me.
It's
funny because I was going to say it's one of the early times I remember texting back and forth with friends about it.
Yeah.
Really? There are several articles that have been written this week, but most notably today, about this. They all have kind of the same point. I just read one on USA Today. I'm holding one from the Washington Post. Washington Post headline says, "Hearing a Michael Jackson song still feels good. Listening has become too painful." They then use the rest of the article to explain the difference. I've read the article. I'm not sure I understand the difference. When you hear the song, it does bring you back, you know, to when he was in his heyday, to when he was cranking out incredible music. But what they're trying to say in the story, and the USA Today story also, is part of us has a hard time separating. I have a very hard time separating.
Even when I like him for his music. That's it.
But when one of those songs comes on, aren't you kind of the mindset of, what do I do with this? I used to like this song a lot, but now that I know all I know about him, what do I do with it? Do I enjoy it? It's hard to enjoy.
No doubt he was an innovative, talented guy.
I was with him up until after Off the Wall.
And that's when you broke?
I love that album, and then after that it just got too weird.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a terrible person. I am able to separate the artist from the human being.
It's so strange because we've talked about this with Bill Cosby. We've talked about it with Woody Allen. There are several people. Kevin Spacey's name has come into the conversation a couple of times. Like, all right, so American Beauty is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Fantastic.
And Kevin Spacey is fantastic in it. And yet, if it came on, normally in the old days when it came on, I'd go, I have to watch him. It's on. I got to watch it. But now you go, I can't.
I still do. Maybe I'm a terrible person.
I don't think it makes you terrible at all. It's just I think everybody has a different tolerance for what they'll let in.
I never liked Woody Allen to begin with.
Oh, so that one's easy.
I'm safe on that one.
That one's very easy for you.
Annie Hall was pretty good, but
he's got some. I mean, all those, everyone we just mentioned, and then a whole bunch. Didn't Charlie Rose's name come up in the studio the other day? I don't even think we were on the air, but somebody mentioned Charlie Rose. I used to marvel at his interviewing skills. Charlie Rose was just one of the best interviewers I ever saw. He was so well prepared. He would listen to whatever the person he was interviewing would say. He would build off of that. And then once the scandal broke about him, I'll always respect him for what he did as an interviewer, but the rest.
Do you ever watch a Harvey Weinstein movie?
I'm sure. All right, so for him, it's different because he was a producer. He wasn't as I hate to say hands-on, but in this case, it's obvious.
You're a shock jock.
You know what I mean? So with Harvey Weinstein movies, where he produced them, he was just kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, but
so
he still got his fingerprints on it.
You're a shock jock.
I'm not trying to. Isn't it terrible that anything we say can be misconstrued?
Right. Right.
I don't know. I'm able to separate. Michael Jackson was a phenom. And I feel bad for his kids.
Yes. I didn't realize until today, as I'm reading about where is everybody now, like the Michael Jackson.
And
right. So do you know what Blanket's name is now? Because I didn't know this until today. He no longer answers to Blanket. Which means, Steve, that the name is open if you're interested.
Who was Blanket?
He was the youngest.
Jackson
that was
3.
Prince. Oh, I read about this.
Prince was a separate one. It's as ridiculous a name
Shawl?
As Blanket, and if people are listening and your name is Blanket, I'm sorry, but you know you have
washcloth?
A ridiculous name.
It's not. I'm trying to get
washcloth.
Smaller washcloth and
Jackson.
Smaller.
Ladies and gentlemen, Washcloth Jackson.
What's the difference?
Tea towel.
He now goes by the name of Biggie.
Oh, okay.
Going
from Blanket to Biggie is an improvement.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He's not that big, though.
No, but he wasn't a Blanket either. He just keeps picking names that are not accurate to him.
Isn't he the one who had the blanket over himself when Michael was dangling him from the balcony?
Yes.
And okay, so we all knew he was just weird.
Yes.
And we were complicit in it in that we didn't, call him out for it. When he did that, he was just...
But there's such a huge difference between weird and what we kind of know about him.
You didn't think that was true when he was accused?
Oh.
Of course it was.
At the beginning...
I did not.
Really? I know you...
It took
you a long time.
I believe the victims, but still, you know, there might be some questions.
Right.
Well, so then you didn't believe the victims.
No, I do. I absolutely do.
But it took you a long time.
It did. That Finding Neverland or whatever it was called.
Right.
Weird. Changed my views.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, think of it. He lived in an amusement park.
Come on. But again,
everything
eccentric.
About him, everything about
everything
him was off.
Bill, you would live in an amusement park if you could.
If I could. Yeah, you're right. Eccentric was the word. Do you remember that special? I can't remember who did this one, if this was the Martin Bashir one or not, but they showed him shopping in Las Vegas.
Yes, that was Martin Bashir.
He would just buy, like, those strange, like...
A gold dog that was a statue that was taller than he was.
No rhyme or reason for any of it. And then as you're watching that, you go, maybe if you've got that kind of money and you're that eccentric, the rules just go out the window. You just go, any day can bring anything. It didn't matter to him. But then, like, the more stuff you found out, you go, oh, it's not, he's not just eccentric. He's dangerous. I mean, I watched that show, the documentary about with the two guys, and I'll never forget that phone call when Michael was leaving answering machine messages for a little kid that sounded, it was reminiscent of what, you know, like a prepubescent boy would leave to a girl if he liked
yes.
her. It was that kind of message on the kid's answering machine. And you go, oh, man, this at the time was the most well-known guy in the world
yes.
leaving some 11-year-old kid essentially a love note on his answering machine.
And another weird part of it was Michael Jackson wanting to go to their house to escape his
right.
fame and
right.
just hang out in somebody's living room. And
right.
there were pictures of that. And that was just bizarre.
Well, because at the time he was a 30-something-year-old guy palling around with an 11-year-old boy. I mean, every indication was there.
And I learned a lot about grooming at that during that special because I didn't,
yeah.
you know, you say, how could the families fall for this?
Right.
And then the families are groomed as well.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just keep inviting Kelly Clarkson over to my house.
Nothing
and she
yet.
Won't come.
Zero.
She's my fake best friend.
I know.
FBF.
I know. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. And then I have found this rare facts about Michael Jackson that you didn't know. So we'll share those with you next. Stick around. It's Bill F. at 20 Center, and it's WGN. Several texts have come in. It's Bill and Wendy, by the way, on WGN. One says, I think I have an easier time listening to Jackson 5 music because he was just a kid at the time. I guess there's something to that.
He was always a kid. He never grew up, in
right.
my opinion.
Right. Bill and Wendy, you can't pick and choose. All these actors and artists all fall under the same category. There's something to that.
That's true.
It's just, I think person by person, we have to try to do our best to filter out what we allow in, you know, like what's acceptable, especially when it's one of these people who we've mentioned, who we've heard, you know, since their day in the sun have done horrible things. I'm sure for some people you go, well, but I can separate their art, you know, either their music or their movies or their TV or their books.
Some people is me. I'm sorry,
no, not just you, a lot of people.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there are people. Who was the model or the, I don't know, she married the old guy and then she died in the Bahamas.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Right, okay. Amy Winehouse, Anna Nicole Smith, Michael Jackson. I mean, we watch these people and then we pretend we're surprised when something happens. I mean, you know.
I was surprised with Michael Jackson. And what did Anna Nicole Smith, what surprised you about that?
Well, nothing, that she dropped dead prematurely. I wasn't surprised, but people were like, oh, this is such a tragedy. What? We were laughing about her for 20 years. You know, she was the subject of jokes because of her bad behavior. And then all
yeah.
of a sudden they're dead, and we pretend like it's a shock to us.
I didn't laugh about it.
But no,
I felt
not,
sorry
not at
for
her death.
No, no,
not
no, I know,
before
I know.
That, before that.
I just felt sorry for her.
But you know who else was like that? Remember Dana Plato?
Yes.
Yeah.
She had a lot of problems.
Like, every time she was in the news, people are like, well, you know how this is going to end. And then it ended that exact same way. And I have to say, there have been a couple people over the last couple of years. Lindsay Lohan comes to mind immediately. that everybody goes, well, you know.
You're surprised she's still alive sometimes.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
I know.
Here are some facts about Michael Jackson. It says here that you didn't know, so let's see if that's true or not. Did you know that Michael Jackson is the most awarded artist of all time? He has 23 Guinness World Records, including 40 Billboard Awards, 13 Grammys, 26 American Music Awards. He's won more awards than any other artist ever, alive or deceased.
I believe it. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it was that many. That's an impressive amount. Here's one that you probably didn't know. Michael Jackson fancied himself as Spider-Man. When Marvel Comics filed for bankruptcy in the 1990s, Michael tried to buy the company so that he could fulfill his dream and play the role of Spider-Man on film.
That would have been bizarre.
Well,
the dancing Spider-Man.
Do you know? Do you know the other movie that he was trying so badly to get somebody to make, another iconic character that he wanted to play so badly and never did? And every time I heard about it, I went, "He's talented, but Peter Pan.
Yeah,
he wanted to be Peter Pan.
But that's him.
I know, but in both those cases, as good as he was, he." He wouldn't have been a good Peter Pan or Spider-Man.
You don't know that.
You don't
Spider-Man,
so?
No.
Come on.
Peter Pan, come on.
You don't know that he wouldn't have been a good Peter Pan?
Yeah.
I don't know. He would have been a...
Yeah. I like Mary Martin's version of Peter Pan more than Michael Jackson's version.
I think he would have nailed it.
Ever the optimist, Michael Jackson refused to let his dream of becoming a Marvel superhero die when the X-Men movie franchise was announced. He tried to nab the role of Professor X. The casting director thought otherwise and cast Patrick Stewart instead.
Boy, that's a big difference.
That's a big difference. We all know about the fire incident that happened during the filming of the Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
His hair caught on fire when a scheduled explosion fired too early, which resulted in second and third degree burns on his face and scalp. But it is a little known fact that Michael Jackson wore wigs from 1984 onward. Rumor has it he even had his hairline permanently tattooed onto his head after the accident.
That doesn't surprise me.
I didn't know that.
He changed so much. I mean, he was always getting different facial features and a cleft in his chin all of a sudden happened.
Right. Right.
And LaToya looks just like him now. She's gone that route, too.
Yeah. Yep. While he didn't invent the dance move, Michael Jackson was best known for his moonwalk ability. As much as it looked like he could defy gravity in Smooth Criminal, this was created by a very special pair of shoes that involved hooking retractable pegs with a slot into the heels. It was so special that Michael had the design patented to dissuade impersonators from recreating his moves.
I've seen people do it.
I've seen them do it, but what they're saying is there were pegs in the shoes that added more glide. So even though people could do the moonwalk, his shoes
he
had
could
a special,
push off a little more.
Yep, yep.
One of the kids in the documentary was able to do the moonwalk very well.
Yep.
Maybe he gave him his pegs.
Very possible. Michael Jackson was the first black artist to appear on MTV with his music video for Billie Jean.
Tell me that's not a great song.
It is a great song. I'll give you that. The incredible costumes that Michael wore in the Thriller music video were all thrifted through the Salvation Army.
I believe that.
That's interesting.
You find some great things at Salvation Army.
Yep.
My whole 80s wardrobe was from there.
From them?
Yeah.
The love interest in Thriller was Ola Ray, a Playboy playmate, who apparently tried to proposition Michael while they were filming the music video.
That's a fact I don't even care about.
No. Some of these you don't know, some of them you don't care about. What was Michael's favorite takeout food, Wendy? Do you know the answer to this?
Chicken fingers?
Nope. Oh, what a great guess, Steve, but no.
McDonald's?
Nope. Mexican food. He was a huge fan of burritos and tacos.
Who isn't?
What do these people have in common with Michael Jackson, Wendy? What connection are these people to Michael Jackson? Nicole Richie and the Bee Gees singer Barry Gibb's son, Michael.
I have no idea.
Michael Jackson, don't. Michael Jackson served as their godfather.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
I knew it was something to do with Godfather. I remember hearing that.
Gibb or Andy? I'm sorry,
Barry Gibb's son, Michael. He would be an interesting godfather.
He'd be.
Now I'm thinking of the movie The Godfather, and I know he wanted to be Peter Pan and Spider-Man, but Vito Corleone would have been a great role for Michael.
I think he tried to buy the rights to the third book.
Corleone.
So while they're asking for, you know, a favor on his daughter's wedding day, he would just be moonwalking around.
Now I want to see that more than anything.
That'd be a great movie. Song you can't refuse.
That would be a great movie. Next time you're in Los Angeles, it says here, try to spot Michael Jackson's star on the Walk of Fame. It'll be easy. He has two of them, one for himself and one for his work in the Jackson 5.
That's not that interesting.
No, sir, but you know no. What? It would be a great Ricky Gervais series of someone someone portraying Michael Jackson as he kept trying to pitch himself for these roles.
Right. Every iconic movie role. Right,
exactly.
Right? That would be excellent.
The English Patient.
I know Rhett Butler is always associated with Clark Gable, but give me a shot at it,
Let's
please.
Do a remake.
Rocky. He could be Stallone's Rocky.
Come on, someone's got to make that.
Billie Jean was actually based on the true story of an obsessive fan who claimed that Michael Jackson was the father of her child.
I bet he got a lot of that.
Maybe, yeah. Michael Jackson's favorite animated character. Now, my guess would have been Peter Pan, but no, Pinocchio. Because neither of them had human noses.
You hurt. You hurt people.
Aside from his chimpanzees, do you remember their names?
Bubbles.
Bubbles is one. He had another one.
Bingo.
Like when... No, it wasn't Bubbles and Bingo.
Are they on B96?
Bubbles and Bingo were on B96 for years. Michael Jackson also owned two llamas.
Their names were
Lois and Lola.
I knew Lola the llama. I didn't know her personally, but I knew of her.
He was also the owner of a ram named Mr. Tibbs.
Okay.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Who was Bubbles' friend? You never gave me the other name.
Max. Bubbles and Max.
That's weird. Max is the weirdest name out of all.
What could you... But he gave his pets more normal names than his kids. Like, he didn't name his
Mr. Tibbs as normal?
He didn't name his monkey Blanket. I mean, his naming criteria was slightly ajar. Just a little. Martin Scorsese directed the music video for Bad.
That's a good video, too. And a great song.
And there's something that they mentioned here, but I have to give our listeners credit because so many of them have texted this in saying it's also the 10th anniversary of Farrah Fawcett's death.
I was going to say that.
That bears to mentioning.
Now, who died first? Because I think Michael did.
I thought it was Farrah Fawcett. I thought.
Let's go to the newsroom.
Let's find
out.
Do
you remember on that day, Steve Bertrand? Because I think Farrah died after Michael.
And then got almost no mention
at
all? I thought it was the other way around, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I'll look up the times of death.
But she honestly, I mean, for
June
being
25th, 10th, yeah.
As being as big a star as she was, and she was, because she was so overshadowed by the fact that he died on the same day that it got almost no press at all.
She was also ill for a long time.
Yeah, right.
There's so much stuff about her now. I just read a huge article on People Magazine. There was that documentary on TV, Did you watch that?
So good.
Really cool. I mean, the suffering she went through was unbelievable.
Yep. Yep. All right. We'll have the answer to that. We'll find out which of them.
There was another person that died that day.
Another celebrity.
Yeah. Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, and Ed McMahon.
No.
Really?
That's what I'm reading.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I'll get to the bottom of it,
That would be another one where on a normal day, that would get all kinds of attention. But if Michael Jackson dies on the same day, you're not going to get the attention. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, I want to tell you how much fun I had in Tinley Park very recently.
Uh-huh.
I went and saw The Who at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And because of our great time, took the family, I wanted to have the mayor of Tinley Park on, Jake Vandenberg, just to thank you. So thank you for a great Who show.
Thank you.
Thanks for buying me the tickets, too.
Scandal. I smell scandal.
That did not happen.
No, you didn't. Trust
Jacob me. Jacob Vandenberg is here. He's the mayor of Tinley Park, as Wendy mentioned, and also economic development manager Patrick Hoban. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Really appreciate it. I grew up in Oak Forest, just minutes away from Tinley Park. And I'm here to ask you guys, could you put Jardines back where it used to be, please? I want Jardines to be up and running
again. Is that 159th?
Again. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of good stories
so good.
About that place.
Unlimited shrimp, Wendy.
Oh.
Unlimited
bring it back.
Shrimp.
Bring it back.
I need it.
Tinley Park has grown so much. You grew up there?
Yeah, born and raised.
And now all of a sudden you are the mayor. I love that. That hometown boy done good.
It's one of those American stories, right?
Right.
Did you think as a kid, though, that that was a possibility?
Absolutely
you
could,
not. No?
The furthest thing from my thought, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Also a business owner yourself there in Tinley, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What sort of business?
It's a funeral home. I don't want to put a plug in, but Vandenberg Funeral Home.
Oh, that's
name.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. My grandfather opened in 1965 in downtown Tinley Park, right across from the Oak Park Avenue train station. And in 97, my dad built a new facility in Harlem Avenue, and we've been there. And
excellent.
Enjoyed doing business.
Mayor Jake Vandenberg and Economic Development Manager of Tinley Park, Patrick Hoban. A lot to do in Tinley Park. It's grown so much. Businesses, what's fun to do besides going to a lot of concerts?
Well, besides the concerts, we also have the convention center, which is about 70,000 square feet. So a lot of people come out to the convention center. Then we also have 10 hotels with more on the way. So they stick around in town, and then they kick it off and go hit up our breweries as well.
How fun. Is there a lake?
No, there's not a lake. Not yet.
You could put one in at
some
point.
Can you put one in?
It's zoned for a lake.
I would like to make it my beach club over there.
There's a retention pond that's beautiful in the summer.
Absolutely. MWRD. Retention pond, absolutely.
You did not grow up there, Patrick?
No, I actually grew up in Central Illinois out of Decatur. But moved my family up here
by way of a trade?
Yes.
He's a Bears fan.
Yeah, it was Bears and Notre Dame, so it's right at the crossroads.
Oh.
I know a lot of people that live in Tinley Park and really love it. The schools are very good.
The schools are excellent. Just top quality education all around. Public schools, we have private schools, and it's excellent.
Talk about the growth that's taken place. Well, since you were a kid, what have you seen change in Tinley since you were a kid?
Besides the amount of people, we've gone through a town from when I was a kid, probably 30,000. Now we're close to a little under 60,000. That's attributed to a lot of things, but most importantly, all the vibrant development that we have. We have a lot of great restaurants and bars that were mentioned, entertainment options with the theater, convention center, as Patrick mentioned. But
and shopping, can I throw that in?
Yeah, there's some good opportunities for shopping. We're not Orland Park when it comes to the mall, but we do have some excellent shopping that's available. But really, it's just the quality of life. People really enjoy just being a part of Tinley Park and all the events that the village puts on. But also what the business community does, which is really the most important part.
So what's your goal right now? Is it to get people to visit, to see what you guys have, to move there? What are you guys hoping for right now?
Well, yeah, Tinley, I think, has always been kind of known as a bedroom community.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Well, it's
you
a,
live
a
there,
great place
but
to
you work in
to,
the city.
Right. Well, great place to raise a family type of thing. You have a housing stock for all types of people.
My meaning was a little different. Sorry.
Oh. Wendy thought it was a swinger village.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, Wendy.
That's Naperville. Come on.
Naperville's a swinger village.
I don't like where this is going. Tinley Park is not.
No, it isn't.
But really what we're trying to focus on is that we have opportunity for people to come and visit and be a part of our community. You don't have to live here. There's a lot of opportunity to really enjoy your life outside of where you live.
Yep.
And we feel that we have a lot of great things that are going on in our economic development and our business community.
When I went to the Who show at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, which I'm sorry, I still call the World Music Theater.
Absolutely, so do I.
It was so easy. I'm telling you, just the parking was a breeze. Everything was so orchestrated. There were a ton of people coming out, and there were lines to wait in, but they moved everybody so efficiently. It was just such a great experience. I plan on going back there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I would say that some people probably don't agree with that statement, but I would say that it's a work in progress. And
it was pretty great.
We like to make the experience from start to finish the best that is around in that class of what you're looking to do entertainment-wise. And hats off to the staff at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, the World Music Theater, and also to our police department. And we have a lot of the people that you see out working there are from the Tinley Park Police Department, and they do a phenomenal job.
I know you don't want to play favorites, but give me one or two restaurants that if somebody's visiting Tinley Park, you have to visit.
If you're coming from the city, you know, you take the metro out, because that's another benefit with the infrastructure, is you can get a 30-minute train to downtown Tintley.
Nice.
So I got to pull in Primal Cut. So yeah, Primal Cut's right down there. Yeah. We've got some new projects going that will be underway pretty soon, including a plaza. They'll have our own ice skating rink right next from the train.
Nice.
And also some mixed-use developments. So trying to attract those millennials back out, so when they're ready to settle down, they can sample Tintley Park by renting in our downtown, having that walkability before they purchase a home.
Good.
I'll be politically correct, and I'm going to name three.
Okay, go ahead.
Different types of food. We have tin fish. Yes. So if you're looking for the seafood option, I'm usually there 3 days a week.
Tin fish is they've got a great 3 days lunch a week?
Menu. Oh, it's down the street from my work, so it's great for lunch.
Yeah.
Italian, I love Gatto's and Rocco's. Yeah. Those are my two favorite places.
Wow.
As well, so.
Good choice.
Not to mention Primal Cut. I mean, but all the, I mean, I really, not to be the mayor, but all the restaurants in Tintley, they do
delicious.
An excellent job. Yep. Everybody does a great job.
Not to be the mayor, you are. He's Jake Vandenberg, mayor of Tinley Park, Patrick Hoban, economic development manager of Tinley Park. And if people want to find out more information, maybe just to visit or maybe to move there, what's the best place to send them?
Really social media, downtown Tinley, Village Tinley Park, social media pages, but also our website, tinleypark.org. Those are great, useful resources.
Guys, great to see you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Appreciate you having
us. Thanks so
thank
much.
You very much.
All right, a little break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Tech Tuesday. We check in with CNET every Tech Tuesday. Roger Chang is here, the executive editor and head of CNET News. Hello, Roger.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty excited about Amazon Prime Day. Are there two days in one?
Yeah, so this is the longest Prime Day ever. It's a supersized version. Last year's was 36 hours long. This time, this year's, which the Prime Day, which kicks off on July 15th, will run a full 48 hours. So 2 days of crazy deals and discounts.
And this is where they say over at Amazon, and it's true, different deals every couple of minutes, right? They just keep loading them up.
Yeah, exactly. There are a couple of deals that stay evergreen that are kind of on the site for a long time, but there are a lot of these flash deals, lightning deals that pop up, you know, every 10 minutes or so. And it is hard to keep track. They say that there will be over a million deals shown off during the 48 hours.
Anything they specialize in? I know electronics, a lot of TVs, and is that probably the best or everything?
It's a little bit of everything. There's a lot of good. There's a whole lot of bad, too. So it is a bit of work to actually filter through and find the deals that you want. You know, the best bets are obviously Amazon-branded products, those Echo speakers, Fire tablets. Those generally get the best discounts of the year. If not now, then Black Friday. Otherwise, you know, you've got an array of TVs, smart home equipment. You've got DVDs, movies, really, it's a wide assortment of things that go on sale.
I find myself having a difficult time trying to, like when I go into a record store, sometimes I forget what I want. So I think I'm going to stockpile things and just keep them in my cart. And then hopefully the sale price, if they are a deal, will come up. That might be a good way to do it. And then I just click and I'm done.
Yeah. So easy.
That's a smart move. I mean, I would recommend going into Prime Day with a list of things you want as opposed to just randomly searching for stuff that pops up.
Roger, CNET has some advice about Disneyland. Everything about Disney now is the Star Wars Galaxy Edge. So what do we need to know to get involved on that?
Yeah, so before, as of June 24th, you no longer need to make a reservation to see Star Wars Land. That was the issue for the first couple of weeks when it launched. Now, it's basically open to everyone, but you still do need to make a reservation to get into that land. You basically need to use the Disneyland app, link your tickets to your group's tickets to that app, and make sure that you reserve a spot in Star Wars Land, Galaxy Edge, which is the Star Wars Land attraction. Basically, they want to keep the flow of traffic in there fairly lean, so they rotate people in and out. So it's not as easy as just, you know, paying for a ticket, going into Disneyland, and then heading over to Star Wars. There is a bit of an extra hoop to jump through to get there.
But don't you think that works out better? Someone I know might be going there this summer and is married to a Star Wars fan who for sure wants to be involved. But with the app, you know, you do link that up to your pass, and that's better than just going there blindly and waiting for 5 hours.
No, absolutely. I think this is a really good policy to kind of keep the environment a little bit less crowded, and it's a little bit more organized, right? You're told when your designated slot is for experiencing Star Wars Land, and you get a certain number of hours before they kind of kick you out. And so it kind of keeps the traffic there fairly limited. I think they want to maintain that essence of Star Wars, and if it's overcrowded, then that kind of screws up the illusion, right?
A friend of mine, Roger, posted pictures of Disneyland last week, and they showed all the other major rides completely empty. There was nobody in line anywhere except for Star Wars Land.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great if you're a fan of, like, Splash Mountain or Space Mountain. You can just ride all you want.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. So as of June 24th, which was yesterday, so prior to that, Bill, that means those lines you had to make, didn't you have to stay at a Disney property or something, or was that Disney World?
You didn't necessarily need to stay at one of the properties, but you did need to make a reservation to Star Wars Land specifically. And they weren't, so basically if you went in, without making that reservation, you bought a ticket to go to Disneyland, they wouldn't let you into that area.
Oh.
But it's no additional cost, right? It's the regular park admission that gets you in there eventually.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no additional cost. They really just did it for crowd control.
All right, and I have noticed that there have been advertisements for 5G, but 5G wasn't really available. Is it now?
So 5G is available in certain areas. It's a huge asterisk there. We've done a couple of speed tests with some of the various carriers out there. Verizon's out there in Chicago and Minneapolis. Sprint is there in Dallas and will be in a couple more markets in the coming weeks. AT&T is in a number of different cities, I believe 19 cities, but their service is actually closed off to consumers. They're actually only right now dealing with a small number of small business customers. So 5G is out there. You can get a 5G phone, a Galaxy S10 5G. Sprint has an LG phone that also has 5G on it. But we're not really recommending that you jump on 5G right now unless you absolutely have to be one of the first to get on this network, because the coverage is fairly small. I think it's really more like Wi-Fi hotspots than broader cell coverage at this point. So it's still kind of in early days. There's definitely some growing pains with 5G. I would say second half to early 2020 is when you might realistically want to look at 5G as a service.
No mention of iPhone here.
No, the iPhone isn't expected to have a 5G version this year. We're expecting that to come the latter half of next year.
Is there a huge difference between 4G and 5G? Is it noticeable?
1G.
It's a difference of a G.
That's a 4G. Who doesn't want another G, right?
I need another G.
It is a huge, at least from the tests that we've seen, there's a huge jump in speed. We're talking about speeds that are faster than what you can get for your home broadband connection, like way faster. And so there is definitely a significant bump in that. You can download a two-hour movie in a couple seconds.
Oh,
so it is extremely fast.
Wow.
That's a huge difference. And really, this is just sort of the beginning, right? 5G is going to open up all kinds of different new apps that we haven't even thought of yet, right? Just like the way 4G opened things up for live streaming and Uber and all these apps, the huge speed boost here with 5G can really change the way we do things with our phones.
All right.
God, you can download a movie in how long?
In seconds.
In like 2 seconds?
We got one. We had a download. It wasn't 18 seconds. I apologize. It's a little bit more than a minute. It took about a minute to download a full two-hour movie.
I hope I can watch it in less than a minute. That would really be something. That 1G makes a huge difference.
It sure does, Wendy.
Well, thank you for keeping us up to date on everything. He's Roger Chang, executive editor and head of CNET News. You can find him at CNET.com or Twitter, Roger W. Chang. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show, including pet expert, noted pet expert Steve Dale. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals.
You weren't sure of the tie-in, were you?
Who is this?
Wendy.
Maroon 5.
Who's the most? Come on. Come on, you liked it until you knew who this was.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here.
I love the song.
It's got the word animal in it.
I know.
Yeah.
I get on an airplane, they play the song for me. It's the same thing.
That's your theme music.
I know. I hop on a bus on the way here, I did, and they played the song.
How are you, noted pet expert Steve Dale? Everything good?
Your producer is Jasmine, so I'm great.
Yeah,
yes.
Good. Good.
Yes, yes.
Why does she make you great? Didn't she produce your show or no?
Yes. Yes, yes.
She's writing a book about that, Steve. Did you know that?
It'd be a very short book.
It is. It's a pamphlet.
And the host was very short, too.
Can we get it in Pueblo, Colorado?
Yes. Like all good pamphlets.
I remember that.
Yes, we can.
No one knows what we're talking about with Pueblo, Colorado.
That's where all pamphlets emanated from.
I know.
At some point.
So when broadcasters back in the day read, get this free pamphlet, and everything was a pamphlet,
yeah,
on whatever it was, anything, how to go fishing. It was always from Pueblo, Colorado.
Yep, and then the zip code, which I can't remember.
I don't either, but at that time when I was reading, I knew it.
Then everybody knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the 4th of July, obviously coming a week or so away. This is a very difficult time for pets.
It is.
They panic. They hear noises. They get scared. You've told us in the past, but what do we do? How do we fix this?
Well, it can be hard, but if we start right now, right this very
right this
moment.
Second.
Yes, there is a possibility to desensitize and counter condition.
By this time, I mean,
well, that's the thing.
Pretty
I mean, we're
close.
Getting pretty close, but we still have time. So it depends on how afraid the dog is, if the dog is moderately fearful or the dog is terrified. But for a lot of dogs, if you start right now and play, you know what I'm talking about, Wendy, if you play Sounds of Fireworks at a very, you could do that on YouTube, you know, it's everywhere. You
right.
Get that.
Or you can just blow some off in your yard.
No,
right.
Don't
we
do, that.
Do.
No, right. No, don't
not
do that.
Not with him out there, but Kona's not afraid of it. Maybe we all of a sudden have some small fire.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to get myself in trouble. But he is not afraid.
I'm not hearing any of it.
Could you take your dog to the, like, say you knew that Yoan Moncada was batting for the White Sox and he was going to hit a home run. You could take your dog to the game and
yeah,
then
have dog
the fireworks.
Days in the,
dog for the Toledo Mud Hens.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, that's
the
a minor,
Mudheads.
Yeah, Mud Hens.
Minor league team.
It's a minor league baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of those dog day events.
Yeah.
And a dog actually died.
What?
Of fright.
Oh, no.
They said because of the fireworks. Oh. Now, I've talked to veterinarians about that who have mixed feelings, and they don't believe that that's likely, that there must have been an underlying condition.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of fireworks anywhere near dogs.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. I took Kona to the LaGrange Pet Parade. I was looking for you this year. You weren't there this year.
I was not invited.
And he was very nervous with the sirens, and
sure.
I had him, you know, lay down, and he laid, and he just looked a little nervous, so I left.
Yeah, good thing.
I mean,
yeah,
you don't want to force a dog, same with fireworks and thunderstorms.
Correct. So what we can do at this point about fireworks, we could try to do is play those fireworks sounds at a very low volume. Do something fun with the dog, which may be as simple as giving the dog some really good treats or stuffing low-fat peanut butter inside a toy. Something the dog can enjoy and be busy with at the same time and is barely hearing those sounds. Then over time, you pump up the volume, and the dog over time will associate the noise of the fireworks with something really good.
Right.
The problem can be, in this instance, it can take weeks to do that, and we don't have weeks. They're not going to push back. They should. They should push back July 4th for the dogs. Make
no,
it July 12th this year. So they're not going to.
It would be better if it was on the 12th.
That would give people more time. At
oh,
this
I
point
get it from a time standpoint. But
counter.
Also on the 4th of July, Steve, the fireworks can run for hours and hours, not continuously, but. You never know when they're going to start up again.
So if you don't have time to do that, or you're not successful or semi-successful at doing that, put your dog into a room, close the door in that room, pump up a certain talk radio station.
John Philip Sousa.
Yes, play some Sousa.
You could, but I prefer
it.
My Bill and Wendy. But play what you want on the radio.
Hello, little Oogie Googie, if you're listening right now. Just any dog maybe is in a room right now listening to us, so I wanted to do a shout out.
I've never seen Steve look so scared.
That's what I call- you did.
You look
for
frightened.
Being a noted pet expert and pet lover. You gave me the weirdest look.
You look like a dog hearing fireworks. And it was scaring you. Wow, that was great, Steve. What about this, Steve?
Yes.
I saw a product, I'm sure you're well aware of this product, called the Thunder Shirt.
Yes.
That they say if you put that on your dog won't be afraid anymore.
So,
is that true? Does that work?
It can certainly work. So what you want to do is put that dog in the room I'm talking about, pump up the sound of John Philip Sousa, or better, Bill and Wendy.
Yes.
Close the window, for Christ's sake, so you don't hear the fireworks.
Yeah.
Put down the shade. Some dogs...
Or cry eye.
Yeah. And then give the dog something fun to do, or have the kids go in the room and do what they call jolly the dog. So the dog is busy doing something else.
Ask
now,
jolly the dog.
Jolly
means.
The dog?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, just make the dog happy doing something
else. Oh, that's called jollying
else.
Your dog?
That's the fancy.
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
That's, yeah,
that's code.
Yeah. See what you can learn.
So,
yes, there are all sorts of different products that can help. And there are vests that the dogs can wear. So the Thunder shirt is one of those three products that I know of available.
What are the others?
And it's a good one. And it's also infused. So you can get a Thunder shirt infused with a Dactyl. That's a pheromone product.
Yeah.
So you get kind of a two for one. If not, absolutely. Even if you're doing the desensitization and counter conditioning, plug in a Dactyl. That's a copy of a pheromone that helps dogs feel more comfortable in their own environment. Now, there are new...
Does that really work?
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
A-D-A-P-T-I-L.
Got it.
And you just plug it into the wall like a Glade air freshener or something like that. Except you don't smell a thing. Your dog... Actually, it doesn't smell a thing either. Your dog senses it through its vomeral nasal organ or Jacobson's organ.
Through the Jacobson's organ.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? The vomeral organ? I always call it the Jacobson's organ, but either way.
Well, you know when the tongue of a snake goes boop, boop,
that?
Yes. What they're doing is sensing the environment with a similar organ, the same organ, actually, but in a snake and not a dog.
That's so cool.
On the roof of a dog's mouth, right in back of the front teeth.
I know.
So other things you can
know.
Do.
Jacobson's organ.
Jacobson's. Right. So my neighbors back in the day.
Oh, is it named for them?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So the other things you can do are nutritional supplements that are available. There are several out there that also do lower anxiety without doing any harm. If your dog is absolutely terrified, inconsolable, and there's nothing you can do, you know that from previous years in all likelihood, contact your veterinarian now.
Yeah.
There is a drug that is specifically made for loud noises.
Really?
Pretty much, yeah.
To calm them down
and
during loud noises.
It works. It works. And I have three things you shouldn't do when you're ready to hear them.
Let's do that in a little bit. It's noted expert, pet expert Steve Dale. He's wearing Thunder pants as we speak. He looks great in them. It's Phil and Wendy and WGN. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is sitting right over there. If you have any questions or comments for noted pet expert Steve Dale, 312-981-7200. Steve, this is a crazy story that involves a cat and a washing machine.
Oh,
what happened?
And I've got to do the three things you should never do because I teased it.
All right.
You know, with your dog.
All right.
But, I mean, can you imagine? So, now we have one now, too. When you buy a washing machine, I just learned this. Who buys washing machines? But we just bought one, so I learned it. The most common washing machine now are front loaders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this woman in Minnesota was concerned that she has three cats, and she was concerned, oh my gosh, one of my cats is going to jump in there. And it's like, what? How would that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it did happen. One of her cats actually jumped in there. She had no idea. She starts the machine. So for 40 minutes, this cat is going round and round
God. The dryer or washer?
Washer.
With detergent and everything.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
So, and water. So not only do cats not like, I mean, the cat could have drowned.
Oh, yeah.
But amazingly, the cat survives a concussion, loses eyesight, which came back. Incidentally, that's because of the detergent.
Yeah, or bleach. God.
Yeah, there could have been bleach in there.
Oh,
I don't know.
My God.
I know. So the cat survives, but this woman's quite amazing and said, well, I'm telling everybody this because I want to warn people that this could happen. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And she cares about, I mean, it was just a mistake, listen, things happen.
Yep.
You know, and she happens to volunteer at a wildlife rehab center. I mean, she cares about animals and she clearly felt terrible about Felix the cat, who clearly did have nine lives, or at least more than one.
He went through a couple of them in the rinse cycle.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Do you put a cat in with colors or blacks and white or whites only?
That's a good question.
I don't know how you do
this. This was a black and white cat.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So with the colors.
Yeah, you got to do colors in cold water.
Someone wants to say, I have a Thunder shirt for my dog. I keep it in the freezer because my dog works herself up and starts panting when she's nervous. So it makes her a little cooler, and that's how Karen deals with it.
Interesting. I've not heard about the freezer part, but it makes sense. For her dog.
What about the CBD treats?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of emails about those. So I don't know. And nobody does. So the studies haven't been done. Talk to your veterinarian. I suspect no harm, but I cannot assure anyone that it will work. It could. It might. We don't know. We just don't know. And go to a veterinary conference tomorrow, as Bill will be going to one very soon.
Yep.
And the most popular sessions are now, they used to be behavior, and they're still really popular. So
what is it now, though?
Yay for me, because I do behavior.
Yeah.
But CBD, people
want to
know. Veterinarians want to know. So the little bit that's been published, they want to know every little bit out there because the clients are asking.
Steve, three things you should never do with your dog.
Thank you for asking.
What are they?
So never, on the 4th of July.
Yes.
Although I'm not sure there's ever a good time to do this. Tie up your dog on a tether outside. Every year there are dogs that choke to death trying to get away from fireworks. And you should be out there supervising your dog anyway. Fireworks are not if a dog is outside in the backyard, but especially if there are fireworks. People sometimes holler at their dogs. This is number two. Oh. Stop being afraid. I mean, so you don't like, let's say you don't like, Wendy, spiders.
Yes.
And I have you in a closet filled with 50,000 spiders. And you are terrified. So I go in the room and I scream at you, stop being afraid.
I'd punch you.
Yeah. And I would deserve it. Does that help?
No.
Yeah, of course not. So if nothing else, that could make the dog more afraid. And the third, never, ever do, is to self-drug or self-dose your dog. And to choose drugs that are over-the-counter just
go
because
to the
you
vet.
Think, yes. So what people do is they give their dog Benadryl. That's the biggest one. They choose others, including their own anti-anxiety medications.
Nope, don't do that.
No, you don't know what the dosage is that's right for a dog, first of all. Secondly, Benadryl could work to make your dog less allergic.
Yeah.
You have a smart alecky comment that's waiting to come out. I can tell
Wendy,
by the look on your face.
Not me.
And also make your dog a little tired. But making your dog tired doesn't lessen the fear.
Right.
And again, you know, it's not working, so I'm going to give two more Benadryl to my dog. You know, that kind of thing. Don't do that.
Don't do it.
The vet will give you, like, puppy Prozac or Tramadol or something.
Yes, Tramadol's a good one. But, you know, some of those drugs take several weeks to kick in, up to 4 weeks or more. So talk to your veterinarian now, and the product that I mentioned earlier, I didn't mention a product name, but I can. It's called Cilio. That works within 30 minutes.
You take that every day because you're
sure
very
do.
Silly.
You don't like
Yes, I do.
I need that too.
Where can all this information be found? Because where's your website that we will find this information?
SteveDale.tv. And I do have a long story about all this regarding fireworks and our pets.
Steve, it appears that today the governor will sign a law saying recreational marijuana is okay. This means that some pets will have contact with marijuana. What do you recommend for those pets?
That's a really good question. So we know from Colorado that people come home from the dispensary down the street with either cookies or brownies. They may have chocolate in them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it up on the counter. Now, you come home from a pharmacy and you put your drug in a cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, but this, and it's a drug, really.
Sure.
And they put it on the counter and the dog smells it and jumps up on the counter and eats them all. So this is a double whammy. So not only is it the CBD, but it's also, in many cases, chocolate. So that can make dogs really sick. They will survive in most cases,
mm-hmm.
but the combination of both is not a healthy thing. So that's a great question. Be sure to keep those products away from our pets.
I imagine they're also getting secondhand smoke, you know, being in the same room.
That's a really good question. So when
I think the people who currently smoke are going to continue smoking when it's legal.
It won't change dramatically for
anyone? I don't know. And I don't think people are just blowing smoke in their dog's face, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope not either, but we don't know the effects of marijuana secondhand smoke and our pets. We do have some studies about secondhand smoke in dogs and cats, and no surprise, it's harmful.
Yes, absolutely. How do you get a dog to stop barking every time someone comes in the front door? We have Kona confined to a family room, and if the front door opens, he barks. What's a good way to get him to stop barking?
Well, bring him to the door so he sees that, because he's just barking because it's like, what's going on over there?
That is it.
Yeah. So just bring Kona to the door. If you want, you could have the person walking in the door give Kona a treat. That's reassuring. So everyone walking in the door is a great person because they deliver the dog treats. That's probably, in this instance, all that's going on. The other thing is dogs will do that. You know, that's,
dogs bark.
Yeah,
I know.
They do. So some of that is not going to change as long as you have a DOG.
DOG. Dog.
Yeah, dog.
Should I bark back at him?
Yes.
There are people that actually do
they
that.
They do that, don't they?
And I'm not sure that's helpful.
Somebody said if a dog bites you, bite him back. I've heard people like that, too. That's silly.
And I'm not sure that's helpful.
No.
Steve.
No.
Yes. Insiders tell me that you'll be appearing on Steve Cochran's show soon.
Oh, yeah. So let me go through this really, really fast. Thank you.
How come you can't remember what you need to plug and Bill has to remember for
He's
you?
He's smarter than I am is why. So I am, you know, I talk at conferences, as you guys point out, all over the place, all around the world, really. And I happen to have two coming up in Chicago, so I want to quickly plug those if I can. The Animal Behavior Society, you'll be there, Bill, I'm sure, for their public day on July 27th. It's all free from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All these really smart PhD people and everything are going to be there speaking. Why they have me, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I'm speaking at 12 noon. University of Illinois at Chicago, the Center East Building, and more info on my website.
What's your topic, Steve? Have you chosen a topic yet?
Yeah, I'm talking about Fear Free, which is an initiative to minimize fear, anxiety, and stress of not only veterinary visits, but also in animal shelters and elsewhere. And I'll be talking about that. And I will also be, as will you be, at the Meow Meetup, which is a cat convention. It's your favorite thing.
Will there be a souvenir kiosk?
Yes.
Meowsk.
Yes. And I will be there on July 21st.
Yeah.
I'm also speaking there about Fear Free, and I'm also talking about enriching cats' lives, a talk that I call Brain Dead Fat Cats, which you will want to be there for.
I want to be there for that.
I know. And you can similarly find information and also on my website. And there's, you know how you do a discount code?
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of these, well, apparently I'm a discount code.
Oh.
So you type in my name and you get $5 off. Oh. Or
Steve Dale?
Like that. Yeah.
Yep.
I think so. Yeah. You get $5 off admission. And yes, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Are you bringing a puppy?
Yes.
Oh.
From One Tail at a Time. So One Tail at a Time is an amazing rescue organization. They have an initiative where they're building a new building, capital campaign. I will talk about that with someone from One Tail at a Time, and we will have a little Shih Tzu mix that we will, I can say that on the radio.
I guess you can.
Yeah, that we'll be adopting out, I hope. And that's at 9 o'clock with Mr. Cochran tomorrow morning.
What will you do? Dave Ennett is not here to roll around on the floor with the puppy. Will Carmen do that? Mark Carmen?
Oh, yeah.
He'll do it.
Yeah, but
why don't you come in early?
I can't tomorrow.
Oh.
Any other day.
But he rolls on the floor in any way.
Right.
I mean, that's what he does at commercial breaks.
I want to read a text from 708. I'm not even a pet owner, but Steve Dale needs more radio time. 30 minutes on Sunday morning is not nearly enough of him. Oh, I agree.
Thank you.
Need a longer show.
Thank you. I get those all the time. Thank you.
Nice to see you, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
A quick break, some news, more show. Yeah, and then us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I think you did the whole interview off the air.
Wait, that wasn't on the air, Wendy? I was just talking to Jacqueline Novak, and I thought we just had a great half hour.
You did. It was very entertaining. Thanks for sharing.
I can absolutely bring it again, like with an authentic kind of fresh quality. So do not worry. I won't even blink.
I have transcripts of what we were discussing. Yeah. Can we just read from the transcripts? That's the only way to match it.
I think I can do it better this time. I think I was less than.
Great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Jacqueline Novak is here. She's performing at Zanies all this weekend. Zanies.com for all your ticket information.
Yeah.
Wendy and I watched your videos, your appearance on The Tonight Show, and your appearance on James Corden. You're very funny.
You're in the right
line of work.
All right, I appreciate that. You never know.
I mean it.
No, I'm glad. Those are my food sets, right?
Yes.
Fries and pizza, basically.
Yes.
Which was very relatable to a lot of people.
Yes.
Exactly. Some of my you know, more personal material was not acceptable to late night shows.
Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it's harder to get certain things approved. My weird kind of variety of topics. I found it easier to get a set approved that was on just one topic versus trying to get five different topics approved.
So they see you probably in a club.
Yeah.
They like you. And then do they say, hey, here, of the things we saw you do, we like this and this, but we don't like this and this?
It seems to me that, I mean, who knows how other people are getting it done, right? You know, you hope that they like you in general.
Mm-hmm.
Then I generally, well, let's see. The James Corden set, I kind of pursued the booker with a tape. mm-hmm. you know, and said, here's what I'd love to do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was my first late night set. So, you know, that was kind of a me just sending emails going, let's make a historic debut. Yeah. I just kept using the word historic.
I like that.
I just felt like I was putting it into the universe.
Yeah.
So Novak's historic debut.
A date that'll be remembered for centuries.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, stand-up lasts so well. Yeah, so that I kind of pushed on more, and then had some different tapes and was kind of struggling with this joke, not that joke, and mm-hmm. and all that. And so it just, I thought, all right, well, you can't turn down my pizza material.
Right.
It's too good you can't make an argument against it, really. you know, so versus my show that I'm working on now and that I'm doing at Zany's tonight is much more personal, much more, you know.
About some battles you're having.
Explicit. I mean, explicit's not the word. It's coming of
age. It's darker.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little darker.
I guess. I mean, it's just, it's sexual, and yeah. that's really, they don't want that there on the TV.
No.
Why? It's late night. That's what I don't get.
No, they really don't want it. And they don't want you conjuring any images. That's a big thing. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's kind of interesting, because the videos that are out there are my, you know, are my food sets.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, they come to the show and it's a different thing.
But it sold you. Both Wendy and I watched it, laughed.
But I want more.
Yeah, we want more.
So to go to Zany's, you'll get more.
You will get more. And it's all me. I mean, it's all my treatment of the sexual matters, I still think has a highbrow quality that the people can enjoy.
Good.
I mean, I've got family coming to the show. So, you know.
Is that weird doing stuff like that in front of your family members?
You know, I tried to tell myself that it isn't, and that I'm an adult woman, and that I'm an artist, you know, and
how's that
and
going?
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's always challenging because it's, you know, around family, you tend to, maybe some people don't, but you tend to just regress into your identity of sort of, you know, so if this is my aunt and uncle, then I am a niece.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're kind of, without looking down at yourself, feel like you're peering out of your own 8-year-old body or something, and you're not. And
you're a family member. You're not your own entity.
Yes, yes. That's why, you know, people without families are really winning.
Do you think they are?
I think they are. They're so lucky.
Less pressure.
They're blessed.
I will tell you, after my mom passed away, I felt I could let go a little bit more on the radio. So, I mean, there's definite truth to that.
No, absolutely. And you know, I don't want to wait. So I've made the commitment early on to just, you know, no, I'm going to talk about the things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I always appreciated my dad, because I kind of would float this with them, kind of like explaining my feelings about my own act and whatever. And you know, you guys have to be able to deal with the sexual material or whatever. Like, you have to be able to handle it. I can't be worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always appreciate my dad's like, no, I mean, you're an artist. He's like, Mick Jagger can't worry about his parents when he's like, you know, gyrating his pelvis or whatever on stage. Like,
it's very profound.
Nice edit, by the way. Good job.
Thank you.
I know you have an association with Mike Birbiglia,
yes.
comedian and actor.
Yes.
Are you inspired a little bit by him, or if not him, who? Who did you see that you went, that's the right way to play it?
Well, I mean, what's great, so Birbiglia is, you know, producing my show and I'm putting up in New York this summer. And, you know, he has certainly taken, obviously he works clubs and he's done the stand-up path, but he's certainly taken the stand-up into the theater space in a way that a lot of comedians don't, or maybe the world, you know, there's a real divide and separation.
Yes.
The comedy
stand-up
world, when maybe there shouldn't be, because, hey.
It's all the same.
We're theater artists.
Right, sure.
Right.
It's true.
Right.
But these shows are less set up punchline, and more just, here's my version of the truth, right?
I think so. I mean, I think so, yeah. And I think mine remains to be seen. You know, it's a mix.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of go back and forth. I want the jokes and I want the narrative, and ideally they're threaded together, and it's kind of, you don't know what's happening. But, which, you know, I think Birbiglia does so well, because it's always a really satisfying narrative, but it's jokes throughout.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're hung on the branches of the narrative.
You know who else is great at that? Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
He is so not.
No, there's just, you know, it's about storytelling.
Sure, that's what it is.
We're all just telling stories.
Things we can all relate to.
He shouldn't even be grouped in with anyone. I'm sorry.
Nothing? Nobody?
No.
Jacqueline Novak is here. She's performing at Zany's all this weekend. You need to go to Zany's.com. All this week.
I should clarify.
Not just the weekend.
I mean, I want them to come to the weekend, but just
the week.
Tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah. That's when you do it.
Get in tonight and tomorrow, guys.
Zanies.com, yes. Or call 312-337-4027 back after this. It's WGN. Jacqueline Novak is here.
Greetings.
She's performing at Zanies just tonight and tomorrow.
The Chicago tomorrow. One.
No weekend.
We need to specify. Zanies. People are asking which Zanies.
Yep.
Chicago, downtown.
Jacqueline, you have written a book entitled
yes.
How to Weep in Public, Feeble Offerings on Depression from One Who Knows.
I love this.
Oh, thank you.
That's a title.
That's a title. It's long.
Yeah.
It's a long title because you got to...
I feel like I've read half the book already.
Exactly. That was the goal. You can't escape reading, even if you glance at it.
Right.
I really wanted a title that would make people feel hesitant about buying it. hesitant about holding it up and reading it publicly.
Right.
Except for the rare few. And in a way that it becomes the flag for those who it is exactly for, maybe.
Now, people say, how can you possibly be a stand-up comic and suffer from depression?
Yeah.
There's no way, but it's very, very possible.
Yes, it's even common.
Yeah.
There's a lot of answers. Maybe if you have a natural tendency towards that sort of thing, mental illness, depression, any of it, maybe then you've developed humor as a coping mechanism. There's that angle.
Yeah.
And you can do anything while battling depression. I mean, you
absolutely.
Know, pilots and
absolutely.
Ballerinas.
Absolutely.
It's more common than we think.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is. And that's part of, you know, my kind of feeling about writing that book is just sort of the more you talk about stuff, the better. And
amen to that.
Has that been the case for you?
I think so. I mean, I kind of wrote it because I love self-help books. I love books about healing, about, you know, from anything, from, you know, abstract kind of weirdness to your handwriting can change your life. Like, I literally read a book about, like, the psychological imprinting of your handwriting. So, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I love self-help. And when I would sort of get into bed with a bunch of self-help books with the hope that those books would help me get back out of the bed.
Yes.
Sometimes you just need a break. And so I wanted my book to be one in the stack that just said, okay, right now, like, this book offers no help. It's just company. It's just company. It's cigarettes in the trenches.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's just someone saying, okay, it's all right for you to take a break and you can pick up your healing efforts in a little while. Because I always found comfort in the self-help books that they're saying, hey, we're here from you, but they always want you to do exercises.
Yeah. Right.
You mean I have to work at this?
Yeah. This just one self-help book that could just be a respite was kind of my... Or one self-help book that isn't a self-help book sort of thing.
Doesn't it feel good, though, to stay... You're walking through a bookstore, and there's something you've created just sitting on a shelf and hopefully being purchased.
Yes.
It's got to just feel great.
It really does. It really does. And it was one of those things where I used to think... I mean, I used to think, you know, hey, if I had a book...
Yeah.
I could sit on a shelf.
Yeah.
I'd never be upset a day in my life. Or, you know, I'd just wake up every day. And there is great satisfaction in it. There really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But then it's funny. This is why they tell you that, you know, you gotta find happiness within.
Right.
Those things that you just are sure that if you had or achieved or whatever, I mean, you adjust to them quickly
mm-hmm.
as a new reality. And then you start worrying about, all right, having a book's not enough. How's it selling?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, then you the whole
this
table
is why
start.
We have to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you meditate?
My practice is inconsistent, but I definitely encourage it.
Yeah,
but I'm bad at staying on the meditation train.
We
I've
mentioned
thought
this,
about it.
Well, yeah. that's part of the way there.
It is.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier that you've appeared on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Forever, comedians who decide to go into that line of work. That's it. Well, boy, what
totally.
Would it be like to be on The Tonight Show? Did it change your life at all to be on The Tonight Show?
No.
It didn't?
No. I don't think it's, you
it's
know,
not what it used
those
to be?
Kind of appearances are what they used to be. In a world where now there's a lot of ways to be seen.
Yeah.
Right? Versus back... In
damn
the day
internet
that was
yeah.
the way right yeah it was there's less places to be seen, but boy, if you got on that one stage,
yeah,
So I think it's just changed a lot. But I think those late night sets still mean a lot to comedians themselves. You know, like, even if everyone tells you, like, the appearance isn't going to sell tickets to where, you know, it isn't going to move the needle, as they'll sometimes say.
Yeah.
Comedians just want it, you know? Yeah. And so in a way, it just becomes a thing where it doesn't even matter. It's just you feel good having done it.
Yeah.
So it gives you a boost of confidence.
Who'd you call first when you found out you got it?
Probably my parents or something.
Were they thrilled?
Yeah, they were. I think they were thrilled. I think my parents came into town. They live in the suburbs, so New York City, came into the city. I let my dad like come to the show. I think my mom was out of town, so my dad was able to come. And I think it was really special for him.
Oh, I bet.
And he, like, you know, sat in the audience, and Jimmy kind of runs down through the audience at the end and, like, spotted my dad from backstage from before and, like, shook his hand.
Oh, so
it's
nice.
He's on camera. Like a proud dad shaking Jimmy.
That's
kind of
cool.
Special for him. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. I think he felt like, in just the way that these kind of external things can be meaningful. They're only so meaningful, but they can be a little meaningful. Going, my daughter's on the Tonight Show.
It's a milestone.
I must have done something right. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
For all the years of, you know, maybe with comedy where you go, I must have done something wrong. There are moments like that, I think, that you go, all right, this is pretty cool. So
these shows at Zanies, are you looking at them as kind of a tune-up for what's to come in New York?
Definitely. Yeah? A tune-up for my off-Broadway show, which is very stand-up heavy. I like to make it clear. A lot of jokes, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of jokes, a lot of laughs. But also hopefully kind of a meaty experience. And
when does that start?
July 10th, previews in New York.
Wow.
July 22nd, opening night. I know. But, you know,
you're ready.
If I had to do it, yeah, I will do it tonight, I guess. But, yeah, I'm ready.
Congrats on everything you've pulled off so far and
Thanks.
For what's coming ahead. That's
Thanks
wonderful. You got a lot going on. We're very happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's Jacqueline Novak. See her at Zanies tonight or tomorrow. Yeah. Zanies.com has more information, or call 312-337-4027. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. More
nice
after
to
this.
Meet you.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo. She is sitting pretty in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN.